Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, friends? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for being here. Quick shout out to Yuko54 for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Make sure to check out those memberships. And of course, do all the things you guys do such a great job of doing. Five-star reviews, likes, comments, and of course, just telling your friends, your family, your loved ones about the Pack-A-Day Podcast. That goes a long way in supporting the show. And of course, we appreciate that a ton. There was some thought that maybe Wednesday would be the day that Jay Love signed his contract. And thankfully, it was. Unfortunately, it was the wrong Jay Love. Julian Love, the safety for the Seattle Seahawks, signed a brand new contract on Wednesday. Jordan Love, the more important Jay Love, many of us would argue, did not sign a new contract yet, which means he was still not out at practice. Well, he was out at practice, but he was not practicing on Wednesday. This is still, I think, what I would consider in the safe zone. And Thursday is sort of a little bit of a line in the sand. Not a huge one, not a major one, but it does feel like this off day coming up today on Thursday is, let's just say, a great day to get a deal done, because the first 3 days, glorified mini camp / OTA practices. Yes, it's training camp, no pads. You're just sort of getting reacclimated. Not going to have a huge effect overall on Jordan Love or the offense if he misses those first 3 days. Going into the weekend, when you start getting into padded practice and you start getting into the heat of training camp, you really want Jordan Love to start being a part of that. And of course, you would have loved to have, you know, no pun intended, have him be a part of it already. But those first three practices, not a big deal. I don't think, ever really need to even talk about it ever again if this deal gets done Thursday or early morning on Friday and he's ready to go. And it's not to say that this is D-Day. There's no massive deadline. There's no huge now or never sort of moment. But it would be really nice to have it done. If it goes into Friday and he misses Friday, but he's back Saturday, is it that big of a deal? No. If he's back next Monday, is it that huge of a deal? No. But now we start to get to a point where, all right, it's starting to begin to maybe linger a little bit longer than it should. And I'm not there quite yet. But these last two practices, Tuesday and Wednesday, were pretty nightmarish for the offense. And we'll talk about that in a little bit greater detail. And I don't hate that the defense is getting some confidence here, but the defense could benefit from going against Jordan Love in the number one quarterback in the number one offense altogether. That's not happening. And it was funny. I was asked on a radio show recently of like, who's been your standout on offense? Nobody. It's so hard to say anybody because the offense is so disjointed at this point. It's certainly not any of the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have been really rough so far. You know, the running game is tough to gauge. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. And then everyone else is dependent upon the quarterback really getting them the ball, at least from a playmaker standpoint. And the offensive line's gotten beat up for the last couple days. So there's nothing on offense that I can point to and be like, yep, that's going well, or this person's playing well. There just isn't. And that's not what you want to hear. Even if we are only 3 days into practice, even if it's still shorts, even if there's a long way to go, all those things are true. But at some point, this offense needs to start getting a rhythm. You know, they have a tough matchup in week one against Philly. And it's not, we're not in game plan time yet. We're not in any of that. There's a long way to go. But every single day, like I said, it gets a little bit closer and it gets a little bit more of an issue that Jordan isn't out there practicing with the team. And I'll be clear one more time. To me, this is not a Jordan is a villain issue. This is not a Packers are a villain issue. I will say this though. I do think both sides should have been able to get this done by now, especially with the quarterback contracts that have already been on the table this offseason. We've seen the bar set already. We know the general area of where that number is going to be. And like the rest of it is kind of just rounding out the edges, the rough edges. Yes, years and length and guarantees and upfront money, those are all things that you have to work through. Those are all things almost every single contract has to work through. So to me, this off day on Thursday is super important. Let's get this thing done. Let's get Jordan back at practice. Let him get ready to go. And let's kind of just move on. Like I said, if that ends up happening, these 3 days miss, no, it's all good. No worries whatsoever. And in a way, rather just get that done, make sure the contract gets done sooner and good to go Friday. If not, again, I think it changes the calculus a little bit with where this is at. And I think the tone and tenor starts to change with Packer fans and maybe just kind of with everyone of where things are at, because you really don't want to let this linger much longer. All right, as far as injuries and updates for who practiced and who didn't, Jaden Reed was back. That was a great sign. He did individual work only, did not do any team drills, but he was back in individual and in walkthroughs. Elton Jenkins had a veteran rest day, and I think those are important to have, and it sounds like maybe they'll, since there was only one player doing it, maybe they stagger those a little bit more rather than giving like a bunch of vets off on one particular day. But those are good things to give your veterans. And maybe in this situation, not the best timing because the offensive line struggled so much on day two. But I thought overall, wasn't a huge deal. The offensive line bounced back a little bit. But again, good to get Jenkins those days off. And then we did see a little bit of a Josh Myers, I don't want to say injury, but he got hurt a little bit after a play. He got back up, talked to Nate Weir. I didn't think there was probably anything more to it, but we'll keep an eye on it on Friday to see if there's any lingering injury issue there with Josh Myers. The players in total who did not practice at all: Jordan Love, Corey Ballantyne, Kitano Ladapo, Marshawn Lloyd, Donovan Jennings, Caleb Jones, Elton Jenkins, and Tucker Kraft. Those are your eight Packers not practicing, which meant 82 Packers were in uniform and good to go. All right, starting lineups in walkthrough. Here were your starters. So walkthroughs, remember, not doing full speed, so you can get guys like Jaden Reed and Zach Tom out there. It's more of just sort of playbook and getting into the rhythm of what they want you to do on a given play. But here were your starters in walkthrough: Sean Clifford, Josh Jacobs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom. So Walker left tackle, Ryan left guard, Myers center, Morgan right guard, and Zach Tom right tackle. Gary and Preston Smith were the ends. Slayton and Clark were the defensive tackles. Quay and McDuffie were your linebackers in nickel. So it was McDuffie and nickel, noteworthy there. Stokes, Nixon, and Jair at corner. Bullard and McKinney at safety. Williams got the starting spot at safety on Tuesday. Bullard on Monday. Bullard again on Wednesday. My guess is on Friday that'll be Evan Williams, but we'll have to kind of wait and see how that goes. A couple of questions that I've sort of seen here. The wide receiver one, Wicks, Reed, and Watson. Well, where's Romeo Doubs? Well, the first thing I will say is that if Romeo Doubs was in there and Jaden Reed was out, you'd be like, where's Jaden Reed? If Reed was in and Wicks was out, you say, where's Dontavian Wicks? Like, there's only three wide receivers. One of those top four is always going to be out. The second thing I'll say is they rotate the receivers more than any other position. So if there's one thing to not really glean from any sort of lineup or starters or anything, it is absolutely the wide receiver position. So it was Watson, Reed, and Wicks on this particular play. Don't read too much into that of what that means for Doubs or anything else. They just rotate those guys through a ton. McDuffie at linebacker, we'll talk about in a little bit. Stokes still ahead of Valentine. I want to talk about that as well. A lot of these positions, you know, Edgerrin Cooper rotating in at linebacker, Evan Williams and Javon Bullard rotating in at safety. We've seen a little bit along the offensive line as well. There are players that are rotating all around with the starters. We have seen Carrington Valentine a bit with the ones, but a lot of times it's been Eric Stokes, Nixon, and Jair, and maybe a corner or two of one of the, you know, just kind of the backups with the ones. And it's been Carrington Valentine down on the other side with the twos. I still think that there's a potential competition to be had here. But so far, minicamp, OTA, training camp, Eric Stokes has been the starter opposite Jair. There has not been any real rotation there. Like I said, Valentine will get a couple snaps here and there, but it hasn't seemed to be a quote-unquote competition so far. A little surprising to me, to be honest. Now, Stokes had a really great day today. We'll talk about that too. But I am a little bit surprised that that maybe hasn't been a little bit more of, all right, we're going to get Valentine some work with the ones more consistently, and maybe Stokes goes down with the twos for a bit. It just hasn't. It's been Stokes, Jair with Nixon in the slot primarily. And the last thing I want to say here from a lineup standpoint, I've heard a lot about Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt, first round pick, and he can't get in with the starting lineup. It's Slayton and Kenny Clark. All right, you have to remember, there's a lot of specialization, especially on defense. And in that interior of the defensive line, they're sort of base nickel, if you will. What I consider their nickel in like a first and 10, okay? In a first and 10 base nickel, you kind of want two guys who can stop the run at defensive tackle. Slayton and Clark are the best version of that. You've got Preston and Gary at the ends. They can do everything. You've got your two linebackers that you want to go with. It's been Quay, and then Cooper's played that a little bit. McDuffie's played that a little bit. Your three corners, your two safeties. But you want kind of your run-stopping defensive tackles on first down when they're more likely to maybe run the ball. If it is a third and 8 and you're a nickel, all right, well, that's going to change. You're going to want Devontae Wyatt in instead of TJ Slayton. It's not always a who's a starter and who's not a starter. Some players have very specific roles. Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Edrin Cooper potentially is a nickel linebacker. You know, how they work some of these corners and safeties in. Like, there are specialization of skills, especially on defense. And that's why Wyatt's not necessarily when you see it with the one. So there's a lot of nuance that goes into this. I wouldn't put any label on Devontae Wyatt just based on the fact that Slayton and Clark are the start. Slayton and Clark should be the start. If Devontae Wyatt was one of like the best pass rushing defensive tackles in the NFL, and maybe he will become that, you still don't mind Slayton and Clark being the guys on first down. And then when it becomes more obvious passing downs, get Devontae in there and let him go hunt. That's not the worst thing in the world. So I have no concern about that whatsoever. Hey, everybody. For those that have been listening to the podcast for some time now, you know how invested I am in the world of Prize Picks and how much more enjoyable it's made the entire daily fantasy experience for me. And it's not hard to understand why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. If you've maybe been on the fence about getting in on the fun, there's never been a better time than right now to sign up. It's officially Team USA season, and you, yes you, could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA rack up the gold medals this summer. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections and you're locked in. And if you're looking for promotions, Prize Picks has you covered every week. Make sure to check out Tuesday promotions as they lower select player stat projections to help your lineup hit. This week, I'm going with Team USA Basketball. Two big stars, Anthony Edwards and Aja Wilson, as I'm absolutely stoked for the return of international basketball. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, defense. Let's talk defense. I talked about this on the quick hits, but it was another dominant, dominant performance by the defense. Same caveats. Still early in the season. Defense is usually ahead of the offense. We're still in shorts. There's no tackling. There's no pads. Jordan Love is out. Elton Jenkins didn't practice. Zach Tom was only in individual drills. Tucker Kraft is out. Jaden Reed was only in individual drills. There's a huge chunk of that offense that is missing. If I told you, right, Sean Clifford's your starting quarterback and that, you know, Elton Jenkins was missing along the offensive line and Zach Tom's missing along the offensive line and Tucker Kraft's missing at tight end and Jaden Reed's missing on off or at wide receiver, excuse me. Like you're going to say, yeah, that offense probably isn't going to be very good. You got Sean Clifford and, you know, a lot of backups on the offensive line. You're going to have some struggles. So yeah, it's not super surprising that the defense is dominating right now, but the defense is absolutely dominating right now. 5 interceptions at practice on Wednesday, and there should have / could have been 3 more. You had Eric Stokes who had 2 interceptions, one off a deflection, one where he jumped a route to throw to Christian Watson, jumped it, picked it off. Anthony Johnson Jr. Made a juggling interception. Evan Williams went up and highballed a 50-50 ball, probably more 60-40 or 70-30 in the favor of Evan Williams, but still high pointed it, went up, got it, came down with the pick. And Benny Sapp had an interception down with the 2s as well. So huge day defensively for the defensive backfield. You had multiple pass breakups. Carrington Valentine almost had a pick. Instead, it ended up being a PBU, his 3rd in 2 days. Eric Stokes had another pass breakup, running stride for stride with Christian Watson down the field, getting his head turned and batting away the ball. And Jair, ball thrown right to him, just about to pick it off, and Dontavian Wicks has to basically be the defender on the play to knock it down and make sure that it wasn't picked off. So these defensive backs were everywhere, and it wasn't just in coverage. It felt like there were 13, 14 defenders on the field. And there was a couple run plays where Keyshawn Nixon had a stop right at the line. Kalen King had a stop right at the line. They run a reverse to Bo Melton. Keyshawn Nixon's all over that right at the line of scrimmage. They run a wide receiver screen to Dontavian Wicks. They're all over that. Like, just every single play was a complete grind for the offense. I talked about this as well on the quick hits, but I think I might have talked about it yesterday too. When you have a defense that is attacking, getting upfield, wanting to penetrate, wanting to disrupt, that's great. But there are usually downsides to that. Draws, reverses, quick screens, running back screens, tight end screens, whatever it might be. The defense has been all over every single one of those things. There has been no layups, no easy plays, no gimmies. The defense is challenging and contesting everything. And long way to go. Job not done. Let's see how it goes against Philly and once the season starts, right? Nobody's ready to crown this Packers defense based on some success against Sean Clifford and a lot of backups on this Packers number one offense right now. There's going to be a lot more challenges down the road. But you look for signs. The energy, fantastic. The communication has been really, really good. The rallying to the football has been phenomenal. Like, things that should theoretically carry over into Sundays and into game days are happening on the practice field right now. And that's all you can ask for at this point. You can't win anything right now, but you can set good habits and you can consistently be doing the right things. And this defense right now is consistently doing the right things. On Tuesday, it paid off with a bunch of sacks. On Wednesday, it paid off with a bunch of turnovers. And that kind of brings us to the quarterback play. Really rough right now. And it's early, still shorts. Offensive line hasn't been very good. And like I said, there have been some key pieces missing, like Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, etc. It's been a bit disappointing, though, still overall. Jacob Eason, I'm not worried about that. That's just a training camp arm at this point. Although he did have, I think, the best throw of the day, in this practice, which was a lofted throw to Grant Dubose. I forget who was in coverage, maybe Nixon, maybe it was somebody else, but beautifully rolling to the left, just lofted throw to Dubose, who's had a nice start to camp, by the way. But Eason, I'm not concerned about that. That's not going to matter at all. Michael Pratt, I can understand a little bit more. Rookie QB, it's going to take some time. But Sean Clifford, year 2, I know it's not like we had these unbelievable expectations for Sean Clifford year two, and it's not to say that he can't get a lot better moving forward, but day one, I thought good enough, sincerely, and I talked about that on day one. These last 2 days, whew, it has not looked good. And on day two, again, even that, I'll give him a little bit more forgiveness because the offensive line was just atrocious on that day. But Wednesday, offensive line, not great, but better, good enough to at least try to get the offense in some rhythm. And it was just throw after throw into tight coverage, into interceptable, turnover-worthy passes. Like, it just wasn't good enough. And you could just tell he was not seeing the field well at all. I liked the fact that for Clifford, he wasn't just, you know, taking every single check down known to man. Because a lot of times that's what happened. Jordan Love, actually, early in his career, not his first year, because we didn't get to see him at all in his first year, but his second year, you got to OTAs and mini camps, and it was like everything was just like a swing pass or a check down. Like, it was like he couldn't get down the field, and that's why he's made just such unbelievable progress. But I like the fact that Clifford's not just, resorting to, well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, check down. I'm not sure what I should be doing here, check down. Like, he's trying to get the ball down the field a little bit more and trying to get his receivers involved. But like I say, he's just not seeing it well right now. This defense is confusing him. I like that from a defensive side of things, but the quarterbacks have not shown that they can handle the workload and what's needed to get anything going on offense at this point in time. And it's worth noting. It's going to have to be something that sort of continues to get evaluated. Jordan goes down for any extended period of time, your season's probably over anyway. You go down for 4, 5, 6 weeks, you want a quarterback who can step in, go 3-3, 2-2, whatever it might be. I don't see that right now. I see an offense that has no chance. If there was a game tomorrow with no Jordan Love, there's just zero chance. They're not winning that game. Like, it's been rough. It's been very rough. It's not to say that by the time week one rolls around that this offense can't get a little bit more rhythm and Clifford or Pratt or one of these guys couldn't get better. But right now, it has been atrocious and it's been a really rough start for the QBs. All right, we have a new name to get to know a little bit better. And we've talked about him on the podcast before. That is Kadeem Telfort. It's interesting. I kind of was wondering after two really rough days for Andre Dillard if they were going to try something else at that right tackle spot. And sure enough, we get to the walkthrough portion and Kadeem Telfort's in that spot. And I'm like, that's interesting. And I tweeted out, I'm like, this walkthrough, you can't really take too much from. You can't glean a ton from it. But I'm like, it's interesting that he's in that spot. Let's see if he is actually the starter at right tackle and team. And lo and behold, Kadeem Telfort was the right tackle starting in team. And he's a mammoth dude. And the only reason we don't talk about him more as this huge dude is because Caleb Jones is on the roster. And Caleb Jones is a, you know, just massive, massive, massive human being. But Telfort's huge. I liked him coming out of college, UDFA. I love that they were able to get him back in the practice squad last year. Had some really nice run blocking plays in OTAs and mini camps, actually lining up at guard. But now he's back at tackle and he's getting an opportunity with the ones. And on day one, thought he did a pretty darn good job. Had a one-on-one against Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary tried to bull rush him and Kadeem Telfort, being the huge human being he is, he absorbed it. He anchored. And there was nothing doing for Rashawn Gary, something we didn't see much of on Tuesday against Andre Dillard. Two plays against Brenton Cox and just completely stonewalled him. And then he had a play where he worked, I think it was Kingsley Nigbare, right around the bend or the arc for the court, you know, around the quarterback, and did a nice job there too. Now he's going to struggle with movement, twists and stunts, getting into the second level, those pin pull plays. He's not a mobile athlete at right tackle, but you get him in a phone booth, you get attached to him, he gets his hands on you, you're not going to do much. And trying to get around him because of his size too is not easy either. And he's got long arms. He definitely looks the part out there. And more of like a big physical offensive lineman, not necessarily the super agile David Bakhtiaris that we're used to maybe so much, but he looks like, a very physical player at right tackle. I love the move. I'm excited to see if they continue with that. Or, I mean, Zach Tom just getting back healthy would be great too. But if he's not, he certainly looked much, much better than Andre Dillard did through those first couple practices, which were really, really tough for Dillard. Let's talk a little bit about Evan Williams as well. Evan Williams had another interception on the day, like we talked about. This safety battle seems to be a legitimate battle between Javon Bullard and Evan Williams. And we'll see if Anthony Johnson Jr. or anyone else gets their name in that conversation. We know McKinney's going to be safety one. I'm so impressed with Evan Williams so far. And I mean so impressed. Two interceptions in 2 days. Goes up and gets it, 50-50 ball. The communication from him is fantastic. He's constantly talking. It's like a veteran out there as a rookie. He's ready to play. And how that equates to, you know, how well he plays, there's a long way to go in that. There's a lot of evaluation and stuff like that left, but he's been impressive so far. And in fact, I think arguably, especially with Marshawn Lloyd out, I think arguably the most impressive rookie so far. 3 days. Yeah, I'm so hesitant to tear anyone down or puff anyone up at this point. So much time left to go. But if I had to give out a rookie of the first 3 days of training camp, I'm going Evan Williams. And I think it's certainly deservedly so. And again, the way that he is doing everything asked, little in the slot, little in the box, little in the post, getting some starting reps, couple interceptions. This is a playmaking league. You got to come up with plays. He has done so. And a really, really nice start to camp for Evan Williams. Another guy I want to talk about, Isaiah McDuffie. A lot of defenders we're talking about in a very positive way right now. Not a foregone conclusion that Isaiah McDuffie is just going to give up this nickel spot in one of the starting spots in the base defense. Right now in base, it's still Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Eric Wilson. In nickel, it's been Quay Walker, and then McDuffie and Edgerrin Cooper have kind of been switching off. But McDuffie is battling for that starting spot in everything, at base defense and in nickel. And he's had a really, really nice start to camp. Multiple stops at or behind the line of scrimmage. He is seeing the field well. He is making great reads. Now, there's no tackling, so there's always that. And, you know, from a coverage standpoint, that could be a potential weakness for him. He certainly doesn't have the athleticism that an Edgerrin Cooper does. But as a run defender, he's looked really, really good so far, and he hasn't been any sort of liability. They did get Musgrave mismatched on him one-on-one on Tuesday, threw the ball deep down the field to Musgrave. Ball wasn't great. It looked like maybe McDuffie could have gotten called for some sort of penalty or illegal contact or something. The refs didn't throw anything. I think not throwing anything based on the ball and how everything went was probably the right call. But again, Musgrave, it should have been a better ball, and Musgrave would have had a much better chance at it to go make a play. That's going to be a mismatch. So those things are still worth noting, but McDuffie has had a great start to camp. This was Matt LaFleur on McDuffie. Quote, he's been a huge asset to this football team in many ways, not only by his production on the field, whether it's on defense or defense. Defense is still the dumbest freaking thing ever. It's special teams or defense, but just the type of teammate he is in that locker room. Great person, great player. Matt LaFleur had a lot of nice things to say about Isaiah McDuffie. Meanwhile, kicking competition, only one kicker on Wednesday did any kicking. It was James Turner. On Monday, it was only James Turner. He got the first session, went 2 for 3, had the second session, went 2 for 3. On Wednesday, got the first session, went 2 for 3. On the second session, you guessed it, went 2 for 3. He's had 4 kicking sessions of 3 kicks each, and he's gone 2 for 3 every time. He is now 8 of 12 in training camp so far, which is not good enough, quite frankly. So he needs to start getting that a little bit improved. But still very early, undrafted free agent, rookie kicker. There's always going to be a learning curve there. At least he's consistently at 2 out of 3. He's doing that every single time. But long way to go still for James Turner. Again, not probably the ideal start. It's only 4 missed kicks, but you've only had 12 attempts so far. I want to talk a little bit about that running game a little bit more that I talked about just briefly before. I've been asked too about, you know, we haven't heard much about the running game. You know, we're talking about these quarterbacks struggling and, you know, some of the offensive line giving up pressures, but what about the running game? Josh Jacobs is still out there. Dylan's still out there. Why haven't we heard more about that? And the reason is the running game is almost an impossible thing to make any judgment on right now. And especially at the vantage point that we get from a media standpoint. If a running back makes a dynamic cut in the open field and makes somebody miss or something like that, okay, more noteworthy. The burst that I saw from A.J. Dillon on Tuesday, noted it. 2 nice runs from Emmanuel Wilson on Monday, noted it. But it's really difficult to glean because there's no tackling and they don't blow the play dead for like a while, even if it would have been dead. So you get these runs that might look like 10 to 12 yard runs, but actually would have been stopped for like a 1 yard gain in a real game. And it like, there's just, it's so hard to tell. It is so hard to tell if it actually would have been a good run or if it would have been stopped at or near the line of scrimmage. So that's why you don't hear much. Like I said, if there's some dynamic play, big screen pat, whatever it might be, you're going to hear about it, but it's really, really tough to gain any sort of real feel for where the running game is at when there's no pads and when there's no tackling. So that's why you don't hear more about the running game. Some miscellaneous notes. Josh Jacobs got some reps at kick returner. Interesting. Keyshawn Nixon and Kalen King, the slot corners, if you will, they worked separately from the other corners in individual drills. So the outside corners were working over here and the slot corners, again, Nixon and Kalen King were working over there. So that was a little bit interesting. I don't think that's something that's been done in the past. Kenny Clark had a would-be sack on the day. Devontae Wyatt had a would-be sack. LVN had a would-be sack. And then Carl Brooks had a really nice quick disruption. Don't think it would have been a sack. I think I can't remember if it may have even been a run play, but he quickly got into the backfield on the play. Your number two offensive line, Andre Dillard at left tackle, Royce Newman at left guard, Jacob Monk at center, Lasita Smith at right guard, and Luke Tenuta at right tackle. Tyron Hopper had another tackle for loss on the day, something he is starting to make a habit of. And Jordan Morgan has primarily been at right guard. It sort of feels like at this point that Rashid Walker is going to be your left tackle. Elton's going to be your left guard. Myers is going to be your center. Zach Tom's going to be your right tackle. And that right guard spot is going to come down to Jordan Morgan versus Sean Ryan. That's what it feels like right now. A lot of ball game left, not to plagiarize Aaron Nagler there, but we will see how that goes. But it does, at least so far, feel like Morgan a little bit more towards that right guard spot and a real legitimate competition there with Sean Ryan. Reminder, no practice today, so no immediate quick hit breakdown. Going to be talking to Perry Goldstein on Thursday night. We'll break down all the key takeaways from practices 1, 2, and 3 so far. Training camp is off and going. Jordan Love, let's get that extension signed. That would be very nice news to have on a Thursday. Hopefully Jordan will be out there on Friday. That is going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Gesford. You could have your name on here too, become an All Pro or a Hall of Fame member, and I could say your name every day. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.